All right.
I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
All right. Go ahead and go over to Galatians chapter 5. And I know it says something different on the screen, but we got to get some context. And as we get into this, I mean, think about this next Saturday again and this parade that we're doing. You say, well, parades are annoying. I've seen them a million times, and I know what it's all about. Listen, wouldn't it be cool if our whole church showed up for the parade and walked in it? They'd be like, what is this mob doing coming down the road? And you think it'd make a difference if they saw like this huge mob of Grace Baptists coming down the road? They'd think, wow, that church is cool. They actually care. And we're going to be handing out invites. But you know, it's amazing how you can make connections. Last year, Pastor ran and climbed a scaffolding. I don't know if you still feel this today, but he climbed up a scaffolding when a guy was at the top and he handed him an invite and some fruit snacks. Oh, it's great. He loved it. And everybody was cheering. Oh, it's great. Do you know how many people that you meet going through, oh, I know that person. Hey, you should come to Grace. And you say, well, would they know that I go to Grace? Sure. Good. You go to church. That's great. So be a part of it. And on that note, I'd ask for your prayer for another church. Dayton Center Church just found out that the pastor resigned after a year and a half. And so they're looking for a new one. And you can imagine that they're in a little bit of turmoil right now. So if you could be in prayer, I know exactly what Paul talks about in his letters and just how he longs to be there to fix things and to get things under control, but know that God has to do all of it. And I need to know my place and where God has me. So just be in prayer for me, that I am content, and just that we pray for these people. Sorry. You can cut that out of the live stream, can't you? It's hard to watch people go through stuff like that. All right, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. Let's read through verse 10 of chapter 6. And can you read it with me? Because I need your strength tonight. Let's start in 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. I need it. You need it. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truth and that we can keep trusting you. And God, you know all the burdens that are on our hearts, and some are completely exhausting to carry. And we need each other. We need you. We need each other. And then there's our own weight that we need to carry. God, and we thank you that you give us the grace and the mercy to be able to do our job. We can pull our own weight. And in all of that, we can bring all of that to Jesus, your Son, God, that your Son who says that he would take the yoke upon him. Easy. The burden is easy because he takes it on him. God, there's so much at work here that independence is not necessarily the goal here. There's dependence. God, help us to see that, but help us to be a part of it. God, help us to see the truth that you have on display, and Lord, help us to be humble enough to hear it and to take this truth and put it into action. May we not be just the hearer, but the doer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this tonight, We Are Farmers. Someone almost did it. I was hoping somebody would just do it. Let's try it again. We are farmers. Okay, some people watch their commercials. We do have Jake from State Farm here tonight. We watch our TV, I guess. So, in thinking about that, you say, I haven't farmed a day in my life. I don't even do my own garden. But God calls us as Christians to do the work of farming. We are farmers. And how does this all work? Now, as you look at this, maybe I'm just the weird one that is unique in his own way. And maybe I'm just off, but hopefully you can see where I'm coming from here. A lot of commentaries would come into this section and focus this on being provide for your pastors, because then in providing for them, you will reap benefits to your name, okay? And I think it's much broader than that aspect. I think that, in fact, if you go back to the context of what we just read, you see all that's there in the fact that we shouldn't be caught up in ourselves. We have to keep it vertical. Don't get caught up in yourself. And we need to go and bear one another's burdens because it's exhausting. Has anybody ever had an exhausting burden before? It's like, could you help me with this? Whether that be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever that might be, and it's really nice to have a hand to help. And this is what God's called us. Bear one another's burden. Go and help one another. Someone who's faltered before, they aren't strong enough in this occasion, they need the household of the faith, the household of God, to come in and help with that situation. But then it also says that we need to carry our own weight. And then I mentioned it the last time when we talked in this passage that verse 6 is that transitional verse where that's, again, where some commentators just strictly put that on financial help or financially giving to those who teach you. Well, I think that's much more than that. I think as God prospers you spiritually, mentally, whatever that might be, you want to go back to those who have been involved in your life and communicate that to them. Whether that just be a testimony. You say, I might not have all kinds of money to be able to go and give them money for what they've done, but I could encourage them. I could be there for them whenever they need it. I can return this goodness that they've given to me. And that's exactly what is going on here in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word, those who have received, those who have benefited from someone pouring their life into you, now you communicate unto them in good things. And then he jumps into verses 7 through 10. And he talks about this sowing and reaping principle that is so important, because if you start giving, if you give in return, if you are looking towards those who are pouring into you, loving on you, and you turn around and you invest in that and you invest in others, there is a reaping that is very good. And he goes and he jumps into this. And he says, listen, we are farmers, and what you invest in, what you plant, is very important. What you feed is very important. And we need to take this seriously tonight. In verse 7, A, in the first part of that verse, you'll find our first point, defiance is deception. And I have to lightly sprinkle over this to understand what's going on next. But defiance is deception. You see in that verse, in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, the reason that it's saying that is in the second point, it's actually know the law, okay? But we're not going to get there yet. I just needed to tell you about that. And it's not the law as in the Ten Commandments. It's just that this law of the sowing and reaping principle that we're going to be talking about. But in order to prepare for that, he comes in and he says, don't be deceived. You, me, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We cannot. In that sense, the idea, the image behind this word is to turn your nose up at God. And it's saying there in the negative, you will not, you cannot turn your nose up at God as if you are going to change what is going to happen in this principle. You are not the one that is outside of this law. It's just like the law of gravity. If you jump, you will come down. Does anybody want to try it tonight? Do you need to wake up from your nap? Do we need to stand up and jump? Okay, maybe not. Some of you are like, no, I can feel it already just thinking about it, right? Okay, when you jump, if I accidentally walk too far off, yes, I'm holding on, off of this stage, I will come down. I will not just levitate. You guys would be really weirded out if I started to do that, wouldn't you? Be like, I'm out. Okay, because we know what the law is. So we can't just say, God, I'm gonna go against the law of gravity and I'm gonna defy you. He says, listen, defiance is a deception. You cannot defy this. You're deceiving your own self. So what is all this for? The law that he speaks of in the last part of that verse. So know the law. What is the law? It says there, I'll repeat the first part of the verse here and go into the second part. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay? And that's not being sexist there. All right? Whatever a person, man, woman, child, whatever it might be, whoever it might be, whatever they sow, they will reap. Whatever you put out, whatever you love and cherish will turn around and you will reap the blessings of that. Whatever you feed, it will grow. There's whatever you plant, it will grow. There is nothing in the sense of if you were to plant seeds for corn crop, what do you get? Potatoes? He's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. Whatever you put out there, you will reap what you sow. Did anybody's mothers tell them that over and over and over again? Have you found that principle to remain true? Now, was it always immediate? Sometimes it comes later, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But you need to know this factor. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Which also goes back to walking in the Spirit or fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. See, and that's why I don't think that this is just focused on a monetary giving. I believe that this is way beyond as we invest in others and how we invest, we will reap. Based on how we or what we invest and when we invest. So know the law. Already on point number three, isn't it amazing? Wow. Understand the law's facets. You go into verse 8, what does it say? For he that soweth to his flesh. This is exactly what we're talking about. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, in this verse, do you notice that some could take this out of context and state that you work in order to get everlasting life. But we know that all across the Word of God, that is not the case, correct? Are you asleep already? That is not the case, correct? Correct. We do not work to get saved. So we're going to cast that out. We're going to understand what's going on here. For he that soweth to his flesh, the works of the flesh, which were evident, which we already pointed out, that are in opposition to God, it is not acting upon his team. It's the other team. It's giving into our own selfishness and our pride, the things that we want. If you feed that, if you sow to the flesh, you will get corruption. Now, do you understand what that word means? That corruption means diseased or decomposing. Disgusting, right? Just kind of nasty. Now, this past week, I've been tent camping. How many of you love tent camping? You're already feeling it, right? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, it hurts back. It was 48, 46 degrees on that first night. That gets kind of cold. Okay? Do you know what can be an issue when you're out camping? Bugs. Right? Now, what if the bugs started to get into your food? What if the bugs started crawling around and eating, and you noticed that it was starting to rot, or there was other issues because some moisture can get into there because you're not inside your comfy home. By the way, I appreciate indoor plumbing way much more. Clean socks, good. Sand is so annoying, isn't it? You get it in your shoes, and it's like, I just want to go change, right? Say, weakling. I love the comforts of clean socks. I just do. I love it. I love it. All right? I change my socks daily, folks, all right? And if you don't, you probably should start. Anyway, just thinking about bugs getting in there. Now, how would you enjoy going and grabbing a nice juicy burger and taking a bite and realizing that it was left out too long? That other friends started joining that burger. It's like, protein. It's probably what's in that keto diet, right? You toss it to the side. It's decomposing. It's diseased, okay? When we put out to our own selfishness, as we sow the seed of our own selfishness and our pride and what we want and what we desire in our selfish ways, and we know because it's evident, then we reap something that is decomposing. It's something that we don't want to live with. We toss it in the trash can. We toss it out. We don't live with it. We don't cuddle up with it. You know what I'm saying? This is something that we don't want to be a part of. So why do we expect a bed of roses whenever we're enjoying our sin? Why do we expect in our gossip, in our complaining, to be really close to God and to feel spiritual? Why do we expect that all our relationships will be A-okay whenever we're fine with backbiting, with laziness, with apathy? You get what I'm saying here? What you put out is what you should expect in return. There is no magic way to cheat the law of sowing and reaping. There's no cheat codes for those who are my generation and lower. There is no easy path where the government's going to fix your life for the consequences of your sin. Say, well, wait a minute. The government's provided so many means to just fix all the problems of society. Do you really think that there's no consequence to abortion? What about drugs? What about the minor drugs? Do you think that there's no consequence to, what do they call it? Swingers, change up in relationships, open and flexibility in your marriage. You think there's no consequences to that? You think there's no consequences to watching porn? You think there's no consequences to fill in the blank? Do you think there's no consequences to you reading things that are not good for your spiritual life and your mind and your marriage, your relationships? Do you think that there's no consequences to just us being totally lazy and apathetic when we sow flesh? We reap decomposing, corruption, perversion. There's no magic formula to fix that. But it goes on in the last part, and it says that if we sow to the Spirit, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I gain everlasting life when I sow to the Spirit? Well, in all technicalities, okay, you can, in essence, in your sowing to the Spirit, get salvation. Now, let me explain this. When you're sowing, when you are giving of yourself, you are, when you are going in faith, because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Giving of yourself in salvation, you do reap life everlasting, correct? When you are saying, God, this is your way's best, my way's not, I need saved, I need forgiveness, this is in essence part of that, the initial start of that, but yet the quality of your everlasting life, which in essence starts as soon as you get saved. Have you ever thought about that? I have everlasting life right now. It started on November the 27th, 2005. That's when it started. And I can sow in the Spirit. I can plant those seeds. I can go and invest in what the Spirit wants. I can walk, live, breathe in the Spirit. And the quality of the everlasting life that has been given to me is so much better. So you're actually sowing and reaping and enjoying what God has given you. Did you notice that some Christians are just grumpy? They hate life. You mean the everlasting life that God's given you? Well, I'm still on this earth. God hasn't taken me yet. You mean the everlasting life that God has started at your salvation and you are living in, and God has given this life? And as we learned in Sunday school this morning by one of the college students, my life is Christ, not grumpy fuddy-dud, not pouting, not the worst complainer on planet Earth, not looking at all the negative aspects of life. I want Christ to be magnified. And then when you walk around in the Spirit, sowing in the Spirit, reaping in the Spirit, you glow. You glow. Is it like really like radiation or what? No, people know you have Jesus. They know it. They know you have everlasting life because no one on planet Earth can mess it up for you. Do you know that? You know, every time that we've complained, we have complained this past week, you know, I could have just skipped over that and just enjoyed what God has given me. Because no one on this earth can mess up my eternal life, including me. Yeah. Doesn't matter who's president. Doesn't matter who's mayor. Doesn't matter who's on the city council. Doesn't matter who's your neighbor. Doesn't matter who's been driving that UTV really loud in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter any of that. What if they mess up your meal? Oh, I paid for that. Oh, man. Make me blow a lid. Blow a gasket. I'm going to explode. Wait. You have everlasting life. Your meals in heaven are going to be so much better than Mickey D's, made by somebody who wants $15 an hour, who put pickles and onion on your burger when you said no pickle or onion. right? I get to enjoy the quality of the Christian life, the eternal life that God has given me right now. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, I got saved, and so I want all these good things to start happening. I feel like I've started going down that path and sowing the seeds of the Spirit. I feel like I should be reaping only good. Let's talk about that. You go on to the next part. It says in that next point, you know what? I skipped two passages, but we'll skip them, all right? Verse 9, patiently labor for the results. Verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. You say, okay, I want only good right now, and it should only be good because I feel like I've been doing good for a day. But you know what? Sometimes when we sow at age 15, the reaping continues all throughout life. Have you noticed that? In some actions that we do, some of those decisions that we made at age 19, 20, 21 affect the way that I live for the rest of my life. Do you agree with that? Okay, so I'm still eating some of those consequences. I'm still eating some of the effects of my sin, of the sowing to the flesh. Does that change the fact that I need to be sowing in the Spirit? No, it should just encourage me more so that I want less of the flesh and more of the Spirit. And the more that I sow in the Spirit, the more that I'm going to reap in the Spirit and enjoy life everlasting. But he says, listen, don't faint in well-doing. Don't give up in doing what's good. Have you ever been discouraged? We're singing a song in choir. Why should I feel discouraged? And what happens? He cares for even the sparrow, right? Oh, I get discouraged. Oh, what about that other song that we sang tonight? I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. He gives a song. I just keep trusting. Have you ever felt like fainting before? You ever felt exhausted? You ever felt like you were at the end of you? Good, keep going. God's got this. God's got this. And you know what? He's also given other people in our lives to bear the burdens with us so we can keep going. He says, hey, listen, don't faint. Keep doing. There is no off season in our farming. Have you ever said, well, I'll just get to that whenever it dies down a little bit? I've found out that that doesn't work. It's just, let's do, keep going. Sometimes you feel like you need to sleep when you're dead. No, it doesn't work, okay? All right, but it was just, it's exhausting. Life is exhausting, and yet God still has something in our plate because he's given us grace and mercy for today to get the job done. He says, don't faint. Keep doing. Patiently labor. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't go on vacation and say, I am out of my jurisdiction. I joke about this sometimes. I say, people will, oh, well, don't you have to do this because you're a pastor? Well, I'm out of my jurisdiction. It quits at, like, Christian County, okay? Once I get past the Christian County border, I can yell at people when they cut me off, right? Okay, that's a joke. I still have to live the Christian life. I still need to enjoy the eternal life that God has given me. Don't be weary in well doing, because in due season, in God's appointed time, we will reap. But I want it now. I want it now. In God's appointed time, in due season. Sometimes I bet you some farmers would love for their crops to be here instantly because, you know, they'd make a lot more money. Oh, it'd be beautiful. Come on. Let's get it done. Grow. You know, as much as you stare at those crops outside, they're not going to grow any faster. And in a particular time, in God's appointed time, we will reap if we faint not. You know, if we just give up, if we give up, we'll reap the other stuff. And you know, when we reap the corruption and the disease, you know, that starts to affect all the good stuff that we've started to reap if it's tiny. Did you notice that? We get distracted by all the bad stuff, don't we? We get discouraged, so just give up. Why do you think so many Christians quit? Why do you think they stop coming? Why do you think that they edge themselves out? What? Because it's easy to just quit. Do you know that we don't retire from Christian work, from the Christian life? And you know we'll never retire from the Christian life, because when we get into eternity, we're going to keep on going. It'll be different. It'll be different. No more sin. No more trials. No more weeds. Woop, woop. No more people cutting you off on the road. No more forgetting pickles and onions, taking those off, right? No more problems in eternity, but yet we're going to still worship our God. So we better get started now, because we need our practice. Do you know, when we get up to heaven, I bet you, when we sing, Pastor was talking about this in tonight in choir, we'll probably open up our mouths when we sing. Do you notice that? Some of you don't open up your mouths when you sing. I'm not naming any names, I promise. Do you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to open up your mouth. Because every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Revelation, what does it say? That they were lifting their praises, worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy, holy. Hold on, Jesus, it's too much. I can't sing that much. You ain't going to put up any excuses at that point. Holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. You're going to enjoy the Christian life. And you know what? You know what? When we get there, we're going to be reaping so much. And in fact, in Colossians chapter 3, we didn't go there, but you need to look it up. In verses 1 through 4, it talks about how we have a new nature and how we're storing up things because we're looking towards heaven. We're different now. It's great. This is what we're looking forward to, because we're going to be reaping all the results. So patiently labor for the results. Then you go into verse 10. The law's application. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of the faith. Let us do good unto all people. When God gives you the opportunity, well, I just never get any opportunities. Are you looking Are you watching? Are you having focus, intentionality of coming and doing good as God puts it on your mind, on your heart, or are you just passing it off saying, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. How many times do we say that and it never gets done? If God puts it on your heart and your mind, get her done. Make it happen. Reach out as we have opportunity, as we have the option that God has given us. Let us take it. Do good unto all people. What if the pigment on their skin is a different shade than mine? Did you see anything about that in there? Did you see any limitations on the shade of people's skin? Well, what if they're like a city folk? You know, they're kind of weird. I don't know how to deal with them. I'm a country bumpkin. I just love it. I love that term. You know, what if? Did you see that in there? I didn't see it. Well, what if they voted for that other guy? Did you see that in there? I didn't see it either. Well, what if they're from Ohio? I didn't see it in there. I didn't. Oh, do good to all. And then for some odd reason he puts in there, especially of the household of the faith. Why would he put that in there? Shouldn't it be easy just to do things for each other, right? Just do good unto everybody? Shouldn't it be just easy? Shouldn't it just come natural? You know, for some odd reason it doesn't. You want to know why? The more you hang out with someone, the more that you're around someone, the more you take that person for granted. Have you ever noticed that? Like in your family, and you just don't like how close they're sitting to you, so just bam. Well, what'd you do that for? You're too close. Or aren't we often shorter? Like our fuse is much shorter with those that we live with. Have you ever noticed that? All of a sudden, our emotions go nuts with people that we're around the most. And you know, we don't appreciate those who do good things as much when they're around us the most. Have you ever noticed that? You don't appreciate, you just expect it, don't you? Well, they're always there, they're always doing. So I just expect it to happen. I expect them to jump when I say jump, right? And if they don't, just wait till I get a hold of them. You get where I'm going here? Does anybody else struggle with this like I do, or am I the only weird one? Am I unique? Yes, you are unique. Okay. But I think we do that at times where we just don't look out for those who are around us. We don't look for the needs who are around us, and we don't pay attention long enough. We just come in and we sit down in a pew and say, oh, they look good because they're in a suit coat and they're dressed or whatever they're wearing. They look nice. They've got a smile on their face, and we don't care enough to go and check. We don't look farther than the surface. We don't ask questions that go deeper. Just do good to all people, but don't forget the people that are right next to you. Don't forget the people that are right in the trenches with you. Don't focus so much on what's out there while you can appreciate and love on those who are right next to you. Do we need encouragement on that? Do we need a little nudge in that direction? Do you know that we can't fix the world on our own? In fact, we can't fix the world at all. It's through God. But yet he's given a community to cherish and to move out and evangelize the lost, but also disciple those who are within. The church is made for the community of believers to love and to cherish and to exhort one another to love good works. You know that Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 that Pastor and I are always harping on, right? Why are you always harping on it? We got it already. I'm not so sure. I don't think that we have that to perfection, so I think we're going to keep mentioning that. So make sure that we do good to all, especially the household of the faith. Make sure we keep this principle in our mind. If we want to reap good, if we want to reap an enjoyment of the everlasting life that God gives us, why don't we sow in what is good in the Spirit? Let's start working on that. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, what you continue to do. God, this is a big passage, and God, we all need this as a church. God, help us to remember this factor of sowing and reaping, that we should be looking beyond this life right here. We should be looking to the everlasting life that we have in you. And if someone's here tonight that isn't saved, God, that they would know what that is, that they'd ask questions, that they'd seek that out tonight, seek out the gospel, so that they can look forward to their everlasting life, that they can enjoy that at present. God, help them make that step tonight. But God, here, this was a lot for believers. God, help us to open up our hearts and our minds, and God, do what it takes to make the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll just take a few moments.